Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball, pre-series media availability edition. Today is Thursday, March 30th, 2023. Yesterday, the media met with center fielder Bobby Whalen and head coach Jeff Mercer in preview of the series at Penn State.
Bobby, how do you guys kind of keep the momentum going after a sweep and carry it over on the road now?
Yeah, I mean, we've won a few in a row, and we're just kind of going back to zero, and we just treat every game like it's our first game of the year, and we have the same energy no matter who we're playing or how many we've won or how many we've lost. So, yeah, just keeping that same attitude the whole way through.
You mentioned going back to zero. What does that mean? Just, like, making sure you guys stay true to the fundamentals, stay true to what's got you here, or what does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, we really pride ourselves in playing for each other and playing our baseball game, not the opponent, not playing against the opponent, just kind of against ourselves and for each other. So, yeah, just going back to we're 0-0 and we're just playing for each other.
Hope you've been doing well. It seems like your arm strength has really improved this year and that you're a threat from center field. Is that something that you've been working on?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely something I worked on. It's more the decision-making than really my arm strength, I think. It's just knowing where to throw the ball, knowing when to take the risk to throw someone out. It's something we've practiced a lot, something that we take a lot of pride in as an outfield, and it's something that we've done a really good job at.
I think that's kind of a theme this year, is just that the outfield defense has been so spectacular from you guys. How do you guys earn those kind of results when, I guess, the process to do so probably becomes pretty repetitive over time?
Yeah, I mean, last year we were not very happy with our outfield defense. We kind of felt like we left some outs on the board, and we just weren't as good as we wanted to be as a group. So we really practiced hard this fall, and people went to summer ball. They practiced hard there. And, yeah, we just take a lot more pride in our defensive outfield this year than we did last year.
And how does that help you guys on the offensive side?
I mean, it helps a lot because we're taking outs from them, and that leaves us with more outs than they have. So then it just gives us confidence, and everyone knows when you make a play in the field and you get to hit, it's probably going to be a hit. So, yeah, it just gives you confidence all around.
The entirety of the lineup over the last few weeks has been producing. While in the first couple weeks it was, you know, usually one or two guys at the top of the lineup, and you've been a big part of that recently towards the bottom of the lineup. What does that do for the whole team to kind of have a whole offensive engine going?
I mean, it's huge. We really have prided ourselves in giving the pitcher no breaks. It's just no matter if it's one or nine or five or six, we're going to compete and give our best effort to have a good at bat. And yeah, it's just contagious when Phil does it at the top and you look and you have confidence because of how well he did. And it's just kind of just grown from everyone. And yeah, 7, 8, 9, we produce. So we're happy there. We're happy to be there.
You being a guy that spent time at the top of the lineup before and now you're at the bottom, is there a difference in approach there, or is it the same mentality?
No, it's the same exact thing. We got like 12 guys in our team that could hit 1 through 4. And we got 12 guys that could hit 7, 8, 9. So we just want to score runs, and no matter where that comes from, we're happy.
15 wins at home last year already have matched that total this year. Sometimes baseball is just baseball. There's new guys on the roster. Has there been a noticeable sort of attitude shift this year?
Yeah, again, I think we took a lot of pride in that. We don't lose at home, and we just want to be more competitive this year than we were last year. And the pitchers that came in have done a great job just embracing everything that the guys returning told them that we wanted. And they've done a great job. And our pitching staff has been unbelievable, which is a huge part of why we have those wins.
Seems like sometimes whenever teams score on you that you guys take it personally to them scoring on you. Is that something that you notice in the dugout amongst chatter?
Yeah, it's a really special thing we got going right now. It's like someone scores and we walk in the dugout and it's like, all right, they scored. Now they're going to see what we got. So, yeah, we take a lot of pride in rebounding from bad innings or innings that could have gone better. And, yeah, it's just a confidence thing and just a positive attitude.
You mentioned the pitching staff a little bit. When you guys have to go against those guys day after day in the fall and the winter and even spring live at bats, how does that build your guys' mettle as a lineup? And then on the vice versa, how does that, you know, kind of build the strength and the mentality to keep going as a pitching staff, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they were giving us fits all fall and all spring, and then towards the end of the early season live ABs, we kind of started to get to them. So I think we felt confident that we finally got to a really good staff, and they kind of took it personal, and they were happy to face someone that didn't know exactly what they do every single pitch. So yeah, we've learned so much from each other. And like I said, the pitching staff has worked unbelievably hard, and they've been our heart and soul of the team this year.
How does knowing your pitchers help you as an outfielder?
Yeah, it helps a lot. You kind of know what they do in certain counts, or just have a feel of what hitters do against them based on what they throw. And it just gives you a good first step, which is really everything in the outfield.
Specifically with a guy like Luke Sinard, he's kind of emerges the front end guy for this pitching staff. When you're playing defense behind him, or you're batting in the lineup for him, what's kind of the energy you guys haven't lost a game when he started?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good energy that we have, but he's not the only one that we feel super confident when he's on the mound. It's top to bottom, we feel confident that they're going to give us a chance to win. That's all we ask from them, and that's all they've done this year.
Anything else for Bobby?
You're from the Pennsylvania area, and then you guys are going to play Penn State this weekend. Is your family planning to be in attendance this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I have quite a few people there. I got quite a few people asking me for tickets. I don't know if I can get 100 tickets, but I'm going to try.
Just knowing that they're going to be there and knowing your background with that strong family, what is that sort of how does that affect your mentality, knowing that they're all going to be there in support?
It doesn't really change anything, but it's definitely something in the back of my mind. I want to make them proud. They're the reason that I've been able to come here, and I've been able to play baseball at such a high level. And yeah, it's just kind of an emotional thing, because I haven't been able to play in front of many people because I'm 9 hours away from home, and this is the first time. So yeah, I just want to make them proud, just compete. Don't really worry about the results, but just the way I play the game, and just make everyone proud.
So I know Reisdorf yesterday, like potentially going Friday, at least for any of the three games this weekend. Has a starting pitcher been named for any of the three?
We'll start Luke Sinard. But beyond that, I don't know tomorrow yet. I would imagine probably Seti on Sunday, but I don't know who will start on Friday or open with on Friday. But Reisdorf's in that conversation, Weidecker, probably Gabe Levy, something like that, one of those three or four guys.
So Sinard is the only confirmed on Saturday?
Yeah. He'll go the middle game. Go the middle game.
Okay.
Yeah.
How have you kind of liked him in that role so far?
Yeah, he's been terrific. He's been terrific. Probably more than you could have hoped for when you get a guy to come in and do that, especially as a sophomore. But what he's done is he's really kind of coming into the year where we knew we were going to have a lot of pitchers, and a lot of pitchers that had good stuff, and maybe not the length. What we were hoping for is one or two starters, and then we could kind of build a starter out of the depth of the rotation or the depth of the staff. And he's given us one, right? So we have one starter, and then if we use him in the middle, we have the culmination of the rest of those guys can give us those games, the Friday game, and then he gives us length, right, where we can save some of those guys and then bring him back on that Sunday game. So he's really been terrific for us. I think putting him in the right spot is incredibly vital, incredibly important. You know, having Kraft and Yoho in the bullpen has been great, right? We didn't know we were going to get that. You know, Yoho was a position player, so we didn't know we were going to get a potential setup man to a closer. And Kraft was a freshman last year that didn't have great numbers. Now he's an awesome kid, and he was talented enough to do it. But we didn't know we were going to get that out of him. So to get those two guys, and then really, you're really excited about what Luke Hayden did, because he'd be another one where essentially we had, you know, an opener on Friday that didn't necessarily get it off the ground, and then we had an opener on Sunday, and then we had three closers, you know, between Kraft on the first game, Yoho won the second game, and then Hayden on the third game. If you could do something like that, we'd really be in business. So Luke's given us that length and kind of get those guys back up for that third game or fourth game of the weekend.
Seti's a guy that's sort of quietly had really good numbers.
Yeah.
You have lots of pitching depth, but with him going on, potentially going on Sunday, is there any emphasis moving forward on maybe getting more length out of him per week?
Not necessarily. It just his stuff, and he's awesome. He's an awesome kid. He works his tail off. He's big and physical, but just his stuff. What you find is when he falls below 87 or 88, the ride on his fastball isn't as good. The differential in velocity between his splitter and slider/cutter isn't as good, isn't as effective. So once he loses velocity, we just have you have to get him out. It's not fair to him to be out there when he no longer has the repertoire to go through a lineup. And typically, he's done a good job not giving away free bases. So as long as we make the plays behind him, typically that fourth inning is kind of back to the top of the lineup or potentially the bottom of the bottom of the third, or the third inning could give us kind of that top of the lineup. So as long as he continues to kind of not, I would say 40, 50 pitches, right? Once we see a decline and stuff, we got to get him out of there. And we have the guys to be able to back him up. But what we really need from our starters or openers is just get it off the ground, right? Let's just get it to the middle innings. Let's be able to have clean innings where we're bringing somebody else in. One run, no runs. We're into the third, fourth inning, and now we can really match up. Right now, we can use a different profile. If it's going to be a righty, we can go to a sinker. If it's going to be a lefty, we can go to a couple different guys. Obviously Kraft, but Ben Seiler has been a really good mix for him. That's a very separate look. So he's just done a good job, and it gives you a chance to kind of see how the day is going for you, right? Is the wind blowing in? Is it blowing out? Have we played three games in 24 hours like we did this past weekend and guys are a little bit slow to the trigger? You kind of get a feel for what the game is going to bring, and then we have kind of enough tricks in the bag to be able to go to. As long as those guys come in and attack, then we can go and kind of mix and match and make sure to put those guys in the right position. But if he does, if he comes out this weekend as 88 to 90 into the third and fourth inning, and we feel good about it, we're continuing to get weak contact or swing and miss, then yeah, we can go as long as we can with him. But like at the end of his last outing, it was kind of like hard out, and you could kind of see the stuff starting to go a little bit, which was fine. Did a great job, gave us three scoreless, and then we go to the next guy, and that's exactly what we need him to do. And if he does that, I'll be the happiest guy in the world.
Going from Ohio State, where their pitching strength was in the front end, yeah, at least statistically speaking, it looks like Penn State's strength is more at the back end of the weekend. Does that change your hitting approach in any way?
Not necessarily. We have been really good against bullpens, where we've scored a lot of our runs late. For us to be successful, you need to get the starter out as quickly as you can, but. I kind of talked to the kids, about the game last night. And again, we won the game, and I'm happy we won the game, especially after an emotional big sweep. And then you're playing two on Sunday. It's easy to have a letdown on a Tuesday against a really good team. And we have bases loaded, nobody out in the first inning. You have an opportunity not to win the game in the first, but really to put the game in your hand a little bit. And we just didn't do that. So those are the kind of situations where you have to capitalize, knowing that there's a bullpen on the back end that's going to be a strength, that's going to be really good. So just maybe a little bit more. I don't put my hands too much on the game, but you maybe get to that fourth or fifth inning with two guys on, and maybe a sack bunt if you're in the certain spot in the lineup, some of those things. So just advance the game, try to get up by that fourth run or potentially that fifth run if you're in that position, to kind of create some separation before they go to their bullpen. And but when you do that, then it's easy to go to the pen. You've also set yourself up to where you have around second, third, and one out, and they bring in their guy, and you've also set up a strikeout and a ground out, and you've ended your inning. So, but I just think being just kind of sensing when a winning moment is. Hey, this is a winning moment. Hey, man, we have got to be on fastball timing. We have got to force this guy in the zone. You just can't afford to give away moments where you can score multiple runs an inning. We always talk about it. If you score three runs in twice in a game, you have a great chance to win that game. So when you have those multiple run inning opportunities, especially where their field's big and it's natural surface, so it's going to play slower, and all those different things, when you have those moments, you have to really capitalize on them.
The lineup as of late has really been an engine. Philip Glasser at the top with 10 stolen bases. Is your philosophy that he should be stealing more, or is it rather the opposite, where you should try to preserve him because the lineup is so good right now?
It really is just dependent. We're better at stealing third than we are at stealing second. We're not fast enough to just outrun the ball. So if you get a layup, right, so you get a guy that's a 1-4-5 to the plate and an average thrower to lay up, then we can take the base, second base. But outside of that, I would much rather just play low risk, high reward, take the layups when you get them, and if you don't, then you don't run into outs. You just cannot give away outs. And we've done a pretty good job of that. There have been a couple times where I felt like we ran, and I give them the green light. You know, Zach's over there at first base, and the kids kind of know. There's a couple times when I haven't necessarily agreed on a time that we've tried to steal second base. If those guys were a step or two faster and you can just outrun the ball, it's a little bit different. We're really good at stealing third. That's where our strength is, a double steal. A first and second, nobody out, first and second, one out. We have a good sense of the game and being able to pick our spots to double steal. But at the same time, when you're cooking, when you're swinging it well, just kind of get out of the guy's way. And so a lot of those things are different. I would like us to steal second base, but if it's not there, it's not there. So just keep the four hole open, especially if you have a lefty up. Let's say, Glasser's on, Josh gets out or whatever, and then Devin Taylor's up. Like, let's not run into opening the four hole open, even if he's on second base. It's just such a high risk play. So I would rather us to just hold ground if we need to. And now I also know their starters are big, physical 6'8", 6'9" guys. So there's a real chance you have opportunity to run them a little bit, but we just have to kind of feel the moment of the game too.
You've mentioned a little bit now a couple times about kind of just being able to sense when there's a winning moment in the game. Yeah. How receptive are the guys to that kind of message, especially when, I think it was Bobby just a few minutes ago was talking about how you guys have to go 0-0 this weekend. So how receptive are the guys to those comments?
I think they are. And I think when you're learning to win and you're learning to win every day, especially with a young group, I think as a coach, it's your responsibility a little bit to remind them, hey, this is the third time through the lineup with the starter. We're at the top of the lineup. Like, this is an opportunity for us to really have quality at bats and sense the moment and to lock in and be really focused. Baseball can, for baseball fans, it's an exciting game. But for the common person, it can ebb and flow, right? There are some moments you can kind of go through it, and sometimes when you're playing in games and repetition, and they have class and they practice and girlfriends, and all of a sudden you look up, it's like, wow, we're in the sixth inning. I can't believe this game's going so fast. Just reminding him sometimes, like, hey, this is a really big moment, right? Let's make sure that we're locked in. Whatever happens, happens. We get a hit, we strike out, we don't, whatever. But let's just make sure that we're engaged in winning baseball, which is, from an offensive standpoint, being on fastball timing and forcing the guy into the strike zone. If he's pitching around you, I had the conversation with Devin Taylor today for a little bit. He's getting pitched like a 22-year-old man at 19, right? If he allowed them to, he'd get walked two or three times a game. People just pitch around him. And that's frustrating, especially for a young guy. And so just forcing people into the strike zone or then trusting the guy after you to have an at-bat. Take your walk and move on. Case on all bases loaded and one out. And so, I think they're receptive to it. I think just a general reminder and encouragement to let's make sure that we're focused and locked in on doing what we have to do to have an opportunity to have success. Doesn't guarantee that we will. We just need to be in a place that we're prepared to have success.
Can you talk a little bit about the experience of going in a series against your former coach?
Yeah, it's always an interesting. I love Rob Cooper, and he's one of the most influential people in my life. As a player, when I transferred to Wright State, he really shaped my mindset, shaped much of my coaching philosophy. He's just an awesome human being, and so it's always kind of bittersweet where you want to go in and win and for our program and for what we have responsibility for here, you want to win, and then at the same time you hate to do that because you know that the hurt that it causes on both sides. So it's always kind of bittersweet. I don't like it, to be honest with you. I like seeing Coop and his family and Mo and the boys. I love seeing them, but I don't like playing against them because I love him, and if we lose, I'm not happy, and if we win, I'm not happy. So it's like either way, I'm not happy. So I don't enjoy it. I wish that the Big Ten schedule makers would just never schedule us against Penn State because I don't like it at all. I do love seeing them, though.
Yeah.
Now that the homestand is over, what has been the message to the team after playing so many games at home to now finally to get the job done on the road?
You're just kind of the same. We had a really good work day today. I just told him after the game last night. I said, it's not going to be a physically demanding day, but we have to have a good work day. And then we get on the road and go do it. So the good thing about the way that we schedule early in the season is we play true road games, which I think are really important. I think neutral sites are fine. You can do those from time to time, but I think true road games are really important. because you got to feel what it's like to play against another crowd. You got to feel what it's like to play against just the sense of it's not a spring training game. I think sometimes the neutral sites can be more spring training feeling. And so going on the road, we've been experienced with that. We've played in environments. We've played on natural surfaces the first couple of weeks. So they're prepared to do it. And like I tell those guys, now you get to this time of the season, I think our job is just, as a general reminder on the finer points, maybe making a few adjustments, but primarily meanings are, you know what to do, just go do it. And so they know what to do now, just go do it. And if we don't compete the way that we should, then we have a conversation, but there's no more jumping on tables and doing those things. It's just do your job. Just show up and do your job, you know. And if we do that, we'll put ourselves in a good position. Whether we win or we don't, we'll be in a good position to win. And if we don't, then we won't. They're like we've talked about, like they're a good team and they've had success. And you know, I know last week was a little bit of a different situation for them. I think you know, kind of the wind blowing out and turf and kind of got sped up on them a little bit. But in their element at home, they're going to be really good. It'll be three tough games.
Was saying to Bobby that last year, 15 wins at home. Already 15 this mm-hmm. year. Has there been some type of attitude change or shift within the team this year compared to last?
I just think, you know, last year when you play a whole new group, and really on both sides of the ball, it's a whole new team, right? The way the draft impacted us, and we kind of reset the deck, right? We wanted to build from within. We wanted to do it. We wanted to build for the long haul, for the generation. And we didn't succeed early, right? So you fail. It's my first time to not win, and a lot of those guys' first time to not win. I think when you get in that position and you're coming off of that, you want to win so bad, and you are so sick of that I think that every single day becomes vitally important. And I don't look at really any time, maybe a couple times early where I didn't feel like we competed the way that we should. But primarily, we've been incredibly competitive and focused. You know, I was talking to Coach Glant, maybe it was last night or this morning. I don't know. I felt like I slept here last night, but I'm sure Greg does too. But I was saying, have you ever seen a team win so many close games, so many 1 and 2 run games? And he said, you know, I haven't thought about it. He was at Ball State. He said, I was at Ball State 1 year. We won every home game. We went undefeated at home. He said that was like almost impossible. And I said, I don't think I've ever seen a team win so many close games. It seems like every game that wins a 1 or 2 run game. And I have to credit them. I have to credit the kids. And I think a lot of it comes from when you've not succeeded at the expected level for both for us as coaches and the kids. I'm never going back there. I'm not doing that again. And I think that's where you see some of that fierceness and you see that great competitive desire. And I think you've seen their ability to play with all 27 outs throughout games. And when you do that long enough, you just have a chance to win. Because we are talented. We're young, but we are talented enough to win. We're talented enough to win every day. And we've talked about it as a group. We won't be out-talented. We may get outplayed. We may get beat. We may get our butt kicked. But it won't be because we're physically out-talented on the field, really against most anybody in the country. And they know that, and I've explained that, and they understand that now. So when you are talented enough to win, and you just play all 27 outs as hard as you can, and you play fundamentally, you're going to be in a 1 or 2 run game late. And we've been fortunate where this year is we have a little bit of experience offensively. So late, we have a little bit of metal, right? We have a little bit of, you know, stiff spine we can have in a bat. And now we have a couple of bullpen arms that have really held things down. So instead of, you know, that 1 run game in the seventh ends up being, you know, last night, a perfect example, right? We walked the bases loaded. The young guys, you know, we kind of hit our wall. We walk the bases loaded. We give up 2. That inning very easily could have been 5 or 6, and we lose that game. But it's 2. We give the ball to a freshman in the ninth. He's 93-96, and the game's over, right? Where that's a big shift. So I think just wanting to win so bad and being so, I don't want to say desperate for success, but like there's that sense where it's like they don't ever want to go back to that. I think that keeps guys really motivated. And then you begin to win, and winning begats winning. And once you experience it and you enjoy it, and then you expect it. Well, it's like, we should win today. Well, then the confident player plays well. The player that thinks, here we go again, or I don't know if we can do this, or are we capable of this, or who's going to mess? It's like that mindset creates more of that mindset. But when you win, it's like, oh, it was a really good game. We won a close game. We came back. And then you have 2 comebacks and 4 comebacks and 5 comebacks. Now all of a sudden you expect to win every day. And the other thing is your opponent expects you to win too. It's like they're not blind to the fact that we've won all these home games, and you know, you sweep somebody 3 weekends in a row and do these things, so now your opponent expects that. So I think all of those things go into it, but what really is you begin to create a winning attitude, a winning mentality, a winning culture, and then it builds itself. And that's, I think that's why it's so important to build a program the right way, to do it the right way, to recruit the right guys with high character, play those young guys early, and let them grow up. And then they have relationships. These guys all know each other. They've all played together. And guess what? 75% of the roster is back again next year, and they're all going to have known each other. All they're going to grow up together. And then you're in those situations where they know how to win, and they trust each other in those moments. You know those sophomores now are going to have played together once next year comes off, played together, you know, 150 games. Like, they just know what someone does. When I go on the four hole, when Brock Tibbetts goes in the four hole, and Tyler Cerny, you know, several times earlier in the year this year, they miscommunicated, and Tyler Cerny stand there holding the ball, and no one's at first base, and the guy's safe. Well, we've cleaned that up because they've played together, they've gelled, and so I think that carries a ton of weight in that situation. And we've been a little bit fortuitous, right? Let's be completely honest. We've been a little bit fortunate to win, you know, 6 or 7 one or two run games. You got to have a little bit of luck, and I'll take luck too.
Take two more.
We spoke before the season, and you mentioned that if we were to look back at the end of the season and it was a successful one, what would be that aspect? And you said that the work that was put in to get to that point would be the main reason. Yeah. So far, I'm not going to put the cart before the horse have you seen that kind of work that yields those results?
Yeah. Well, you look at a couple things off the top, and we practice it. We've practiced cuts and relays more this year than I've ever practiced with a team tenfold, right? And that has yielded more results more quickly than I would have ever anticipated. We've thrown more runners out at second base. We've thrown guys out of third base. We've relayed balls back in the middle of the field. We've had 4 or 5 relays to the plate. That has yielded more immediate results than I probably could have ever imagined. We changed the way that we held runners. And you look at it's very, very difficult to run against us, especially with Ellis. Now, and Pete's had really good games too, but it's almost impossible to run against Ellis. We've picked off 6 or 8 guys at first base. We've picked off guys at second base. The way that we've managed base runners and our cuts and relays, talk about the work. If we succeed, it'll be because of the work that we've done. And in the moment, that's what I'm thinking about in the back of my mind, the adjustments that we've made, the things that we've implemented, the way that we've recruited. Those things will lead to success. And so I would say unequivocally those things have impacted us to where we went from losing a lot of close games to now we're winning those close games. So, yeah, that has definitely changed the course of our season. And then I would say the dedication to recruiting high-character kids that really have a true desire to be the best that they can be is yielding great results. The work that you put in, that Coach Simmons and that Coach Glant and the coaches that came before, the countless hours behind the scenes making sure that we have the right people in the right positions on the bus, I think that work yields itself. So if you want to do anything, I should say this, you can have anything in life if you're willing to do the work. It's one of my favorite quotes. You can have anything. You can be anything. Now, it may be way more work than you're willing to do. That's fine. But you can have it and you can do it. And again, like you said, not to put the cart before the horse, but I do tell the kids, it's okay to be proud of yourself. I think you have to temper it, right? You know, the pride before the fall. But it's okay to be happy and satisfied and enjoy your moment of success. And then we wake up tomorrow morning, you have to clear the deck and, like Bobby said, go back to 0-0 and go compete really well. But yeah, I would say the work has translated. It's allowed us to have more success. And so now we're just at a position to continue that into the future. And we have no idea what the future holds. And I hope that we continue to have success. But I do know this, that the right people and the right coaches doing the right things and the right work consistently gives you an opportunity for success. And we've been fortunate the last couple of weeks where it's kind of shined on us a little bit. And hopefully we can continue that trend.
Who are the most vocal of the returning players saying or sort of preaching that a losing season is not going to be repeated?
I would say Waylon and Ellis, Glasser, Hunter, Jesse, those guys are, you know, Bobby and Hunter are more vocal leaders. Glasser is a little more, but Glasser and Ellis are just they're workers, right? They're going to show up early. They're going to stay late. And all the guys work hard, but they're going to lead more in the way they go about their business. I think Bobby is, in a lot of ways, kind of the straw that stirs the drink. You know, he's kind of got that wrestler mentality, that attitude. He's not afraid to say what needs to be said, and I really respect that and appreciate that about him. He's got good feel, but at the same time, he wants to win. He wants to succeed, and he's worked really hard, and he's played really well for a couple of years now. So I think those four guys are at the forefront and adamant. And then the transfers that we brought in are the right kind of guys. You look at, Ben Seiler and Gabe Levy are grad transfers who are all about winning. I just want to win. Gabe won a ton of games his college career. That's all he knows is winning, and Ben didn't. And all he wants to do is win. And so when those guys are preaching winning and they accept roles and all of a sudden their roles are diminished, it's fine. Just put me wherever you need me to win, coach. I just want to win. And that permeates, right? So you have some of those young guys that are top 50, top 100 players in the country, prospects, and turned out money to come to college. And all they hear every day is, I just want to win. How do we win? Help us to win. And that begins to become the standard and the expectation. And so you see young guys that have no ego. They're super competitive. They're there to do whatever they're called upon that day. And at the end of it, I don't get to hit anymore, and Coach Clint doesn't get to pitch anymore. Coach Simmons didn't pick up a ground ball. Zach Weatherford is the best outfielder I've ever seen. He won the National Gold Glove. And there are oftentimes I wish I could just stick him out there, throw an IU hat on him and let him go because he was special. But they've got to go do it. It's their team. You kind of give somebody the guidelines and the bumper rails. But if you don't have leadership and you don't support their leadership and you don't behind the scenes prop them up and give them the confidence to go and to lead the team, then it's all for naught. I guess back to your question about Coach Cooper, that was probably the greatest thing he did for me was behind the scenes he gave me the confidence to lead. That's what he'd say. It's your team. You have to go lead them. Like, you have to go play on the field, and the guys have to have confidence in each other. And I felt like that was my role when I was at Wright State as a transfer. I was a good player, but I was a good leader, and he gave me the confidence to do that. So I try to do that with those guys, and they've taken it and done an awesome job.
Thank you for listening to this media availability edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Indiana travels to Penn State and will play the Nittany Lions Friday, March 31st at 6 p.m. And also play Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at noon. Thank you for listening to Talking Hoosier Baseball. See you at the BART.